Good morning, friends and family, and welcome. God is good, isn't he? And all the time, God is good. Well, the caveat off of what James was just sharing on prayer, right? There's a verse that comes to mind. In everything, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, we make our requests known to God. Amen? Amen. So I want to emphasize that part there of thanksgiving, right? We want to be thankful to our Lord for what he has done. And in being thankful for what he's done, it is a given that we are acknowledging that he is the one who has done it. Amen? Amen. So first off, I just want to thank the Lord for his goodness, for his love, his grace, his redemption, his adopting of us. When we have received Jesus, his Son, into our hearts. When we receive Jesus into our hearts, we give him control of the very lives that he's given us. God promises with us with so much. And up front, he's already died on the cross for our sins and has already forgiven us of all of our sin. And he says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And it is so much more than that, because he says, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, which Jesus paid at the cross for all of us. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He gives us himself, thereby giving us eternal life, thereby sealing us with the Holy Spirit, thereby adopting us as sons and daughters of God. This is amazing. It is all because of God's grace, amen? And we act in faith and acknowledge that he has done it all, and receive his grace. Amen? Amen. So I also wanted to thank Pastor James and the elders, Eric, Neil, Joe, Howard, and Rick, who was sick at home, for obeying the Lord and inviting me here to speak with you today. And that is important, isn't it, that we listen to the voice of the Lord. We obey him. And it's wonderful to have that example set before us. And we need that. We need that encouragement every day as brothers and sisters in Christ to see that. That we obey the Lord. We obey him together, not grudgingly, but we obey him joyfully, knowing that not only is it good to give glory and praise to God in our obedience to him, So it's not only good for God, it is good for us. It is a win-win-win. It is just awesome. And so, praise the Lord. And I also want to thank everyone who's here today for listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and coming in this morning, that God has something to say to you, trusting him in that. Praise the Lord. I'd like to open up in prayer. To Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much, Father, for creating us, for loving us, for redeeming us, for adopting us through your Son, Jesus. And we pray, Father, if there's anyone here today who has not received Jesus into their lives, to change them and mold them and make them like you, we pray, Father, that they'd open up their hearts to you today, knowing that you are a loving God, that you have already up front died. So you sent your Son to die for all of our sin so that we can be with you, so that we can be in relationship with you. And just as you have died in our place, we, the old man, the sin nature dies with you so that we can live with you, resurrected, born again into new life, a new creation in you, Lord Jesus, just as your word has said and just as what you have done. All of this truth, we thank you, Father, for you are Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no man or woman comes to you, comes to the Father, except through you, Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as what James has shared earlier, I've been in the Army Reserve for 7 years now, and it was September 8th, 2011, after a lot of things before that, where God has told me specifically, where I've pleaded with him. I asked him, God, where do you want me specifically? In November 2010, he hinted at me, told me he was going to have me involved with the military in some way. So I'm like, okay. And so I started researching the other branches and so forth, and then I come to realize, okay, well, the Air Force is the most family-friendly, but apparently you close the door there, oh, I see what I've done. Okay, I've taken the little information you've given me, and instead of inquiring further, I just took the reins and looked at everything else myself and thinking that that's what I'm to do. But God is more than a helper, more than a hinter. He actually provides us with clear, straight direction. Straight is the path. And I realized then what I have done, and I came to the Father and I said, Father, I cannot do things on my own. I don't know what I'm doing. I should have inquired further. God, so now I am inquiring further. Please tell me specifically what branch you want me to serve in and what position of that within that branch that you want me to serve in. Because I don't want to spin my wheels, so to speak. I don't want to waste any more time in this life trying to do things my own way and getting nowhere. I really want to store up treasures in heaven. I want to serve you with everything. I want to be filled. I want to live a life that's filled with purpose and hope that only you can provide, Lord. And I know this, and I hand this over to you. And so then God told me September 8th, 2011, after the enemy really tried to confuse me the night before, even came across a website devoted entirely to taking a verse out of context, which is totally what the devil does. It said, it's taking the verse, you cannot serve God and mammon out of context. Trying to say, you cannot serve two masters, and by serving in the military and serving God, you're serving two masters. And especially if you're a chaplain in the military, then you're totally serving two masters. And so I actually contemplated, God, well, what does your word truly say concerning this? And God shared with me that this whole website was devoted to as a scare tactic from the enemy to try to prevent me from answering the call of the Lord. And September 8th, 2011, God said, I want you to be a chaplain in the Army. I said, awesome, okay. I am so excited. A wave of despair just fell off of me. I literally feel it just fall off of me. And I was like, can I start pursuing this now? He says, yes. I'm like, awesome. So I don't have to sit around anymore and just wait or anything, because I'm horrible with patience. I'm like, God, thank you for teaching me, but please don't teach me anymore, because I don't want to have to wait forever for everything. It seems like forever to us, doesn't it? When we're in the midst of waiting, it seems like it takes forever, and it seems like a waste, but even in that, it's not. It's actually, if you actually pay attention, you see that God's preparing your heart for what he has ahead. And if you ignore that, then it takes even longer. And then you're like, God, what's taking you so long? He says, what's taking you so long? I'm trying to show you here. So praise the Lord. I'm thankful for the call that he's given me. And then just recently I had an interview with the chaplain. I thought that that God was to that he was going to take us, me and my family, active duty, but then God stopped me in my tracks and said, well, have you considered the cost? I realized I had to put down sometimes we get carried away with the very calling that even that God gives us, and that becomes our focus instead of the Lord himself. And I realized that's what was going on. And so I called Laura and shared with her that what this means, actually thinking through it. So when you're on a deployment, you're entirely at the mercy of the military and what they want to do with you, your military property, so to speak. And you cannot just, like, I cannot come home if Laura is sick and having issues trying to take care of her five boys, and I'll be missing birthdays. I might even be able, I may even miss driver's training with my boys, which I look forward to. You know, I might miss out on a lot of different things with the family. And that most likely will happen. And so I'm sharing this with Laura, and you know, emergency leave is a thing. So if it's an emergency, there's a Red Cross message at which you can come back home. It takes a while to fly back from wherever you are overseas and so forth. But there's a lot of blessing involved in why God has called me there. And if I have my eyes on myself or my calling or anything that is apart from my eyes on the Lord, then I'm going to be disappointed and I'm going to be off course. So God set me straight in that. And God put on Laura's heart that a fire for this is what God wants for us, to go active duty. And it's wonderful because it's actually really hard sometimes to even get Laura's opinion on anything. You know? So she's just like, she's so wonderful and trusting that God's going to lead me and that I will listen to him, that she's not worried about it. And I'm just thankful, very thankful. So anyway, when in the beginning of this year, I think it was February, Chaplain Williams called me. He was a chaplain who's a major down in, he's a brigade chaplain down at Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas. And he had talked to the chaplain, who was my supervisory chaplain before, in the hospital, 396 Combat Support Hospital. And we, our Alpha Company, we drill at Fairchild Air Force Base near Spokane. Chaplain Schwartz, who is my supervisory chaplain, talked to Chaplain Williams and said, I know who you need. I got somebody who would suit your needs down there, and wouldn't be in conflict with you, but would be with you on the mission. And so Chaplain Williams contacted me, and I applied online for, it's called Mob Cop, or Tour of Duty, where you can volunteer for a mobilization. And this is nice because you can pick, okay, I'm going to be in the States, and I can volunteer for such a time, and then go with that. As a reservist, you can do that. So so I applied, and I was wondering why it wasn't a smooth transition. It actually took, long story short, it took 2.5 months after the application to actually get approved to go down, at which cut my time short to 4.5 months total down in El Paso. And I see that this isn't some error in the computer system, although if it was, I'm sure God can use that too. I really see that as God, because my son Benai was born April 28th, and I would have missed his birth had I gone at that time and so forth. And I also, my heart was also there to be with Laura at that birth and of our son, and to support her. And so I was able to support her and the baby for 2 months before God said, okay, now you can go and get this experience and be with the soldiers and fill in the shoes of everything that I have planned for you. So that was very neat. I called up Chaplain Williams and let him know as soon as I got orders. It was a very quick thing. It was on a Friday, they told me, which is hard because everything closes Friday evening, and it's hard to get anything processed. But anyway, so the unit administrator down there, God worked through her, and Chaplain Williams was like, wait, who is this? He thought that everything was just falling through. that it wouldn't happen. And he's like, oh, wow, you're still coming. That's awesome. And so he invited me. He picked me up at the airport and everything. He showed me around. And I thank God that he gave me provisions I didn't even know I had need of when I was down there, where they set me up in the barracks. They don't even have sheets on the bed. And so I had to get sheets on the bed, soap for to wash your hands, you know, shampoo, conditioner, all that kind of stuff. And he helped me with that. And his wife, Cheryl, was so kind. It's her ministry to care for me and give me the things that I have need of. And said, if you need anything else, let me know. And just a wonderful family. And I thank God for people to, because it's just so much, so inviting and so helpful for me to settle in there. The first part is always hard for me, not knowing what's ahead, how it's going to unfold. Well, God did work amazing things when I was down there. It's like all the gifts that I like forgot I had, like that God's given me, have just been pulled out, drawn out, and used. And soldiers would just come to me out of nowhere, because God would bring them to me. And I know exactly how to talk to them, what to talk to them about, to pray for them. There'd be atheists and agnostics and people who would come to me, but whose hearts God softened. I said, would it be all right if I pray with you? Because I believe that this would be helpful. They said, yeah, I'd be okay with that. And so I'd pray with them, and God would be so faithful that as soon as we finished praying, the very issue that they were struggling with in their heart would just disintegrate. And they'd come to me in serious anger. They'd be like, what just happened? I'm at peace. How did that happen? And so God is good. And when you act on what he tells you to do and you believe his word, there's nothing left but to just say what he tells you to say, just bless and do what you know he's called you to do, and he's faithful. And it's just awesome. The only time that we're ever disappointed is when we get ourselves involved and start thinking of it as like a process, or start thinking of it as a, it's all about me and my performance and what I do and so forth. Whenever you get caught up in that, then you'll be severely disappointed, knowing that doesn't work. Even if you call upon God, because you're doing it in vain, you know, you're asking amiss. So, but when we give God glory, when we thank him in our prayers, remember to thank him, because I really think that comes out. And even the person that you're with, who you're praying with, if they thank him, then it's like God just says, then it's done. It's already done. And because we're putting our faith not in our prayer, not in our circumstances, our surrounding, we're putting our faith in the Lord. And when you put your faith in the Lord, you will never, ever be let down. So another amazing thing too, so within the first few weeks that I was there, I got to Skype. That was wonderful. And with Laura and with the Lindstrands, and just share with them what was going on. But the first night there, I had a crazy dream, and God showed that to me, and he showed it that the dream had something to do with my own heart, and how I was serving him like begrudgingly, you know. I actually was, I wasn't giving my all to where he had me at every given moment. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes when you're waiting for something in anticipation and you're excited about it and you're expecting it, again, don't get your eyes fixed upon the future event. Focus on where you're at now, where God has you right now. Because now is what matters. Now is what you have control over in some ways, right? In the decisions you make, right? Now. So don't wait till tomorrow, as it says in Hebrews. Don't wait till tomorrow to give your brother or sister a blessing. Don't wait till tomorrow to pray for them. Don't wait till tomorrow to serve God. Don't wait till tomorrow to exercise the gifts that he has given you in blessing him and others. Why not do it today? Why not now? When God, when we ask God to empty us of ourselves, our selfishness, our selfish desires, and everything like that, when we ask him to do that, he does it. And then we ask him to fill him, that he would fill us with his Holy Spirit. And it's so beautiful, because it's not necessarily a filling that he's doing, because when you've received Jesus, he's already given you the Holy Spirit. It's your acknowledgement that the Holy Spirit needs to take control, take charge of your lives. Now, this is an interesting concept, because whenever we talk about this word possession, it always sounds like the negative context of it. Oh, well, that person was possessed by the devil or demons or something like that. And that is negative. That's very bad. How does a person get possessed by the devil or the enemy? Well, they get possessed when they're not already sealed by the Holy Spirit, when they're not possessed by the Holy Spirit. Because when you're possessed by the Holy Spirit, you are sealed and protected from the enemy. You're protected from the wiles of the enemy. So we tell the enemy, leave Satan, in the name of Jesus, go. And then we ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. So there was a... So there was a man who came. It's interesting. I was walking over to the other building, and there's another chaplain in the other building. He's the only other chaplain who was under the influence of the brigade. His name was Chaplain Lodewig, and I went over to go see Chaplain Lodewig. And while going over there, I found his office door closed. He was gone. I don't know why he was gone, but he was gone and taking care of something. And there was a soldier who I came across in the hall. He noticed the cross patch on my uniform, knowing that I was a chaplain. And he doesn't see chaplains often, but he says, "Hey, are you a chaplain?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Can I talk with you?" I'm like, "Absolutely, yeah." And so we went outside to the park bench, or a little bench that's in between the buildings, lunch bench or whatever. And he started talking to me about what was going on with him overseas. And he just came back from a deployment, and he's getting ready to transition to go back home. Well, he was talking with his wife. He told me that that he believes himself to be an atheist and so forth. And it's interesting. He was talking about how he found out not too long ago that his wife committed adultery And then he went on to say that he had committed adultery multiple times, but never confessed it to his wife. What's interesting is that we talked about when his wife committed adultery on him, he noticed in part what it is that he had done and how it hurt. And we went on to talk about what that entails, what that means. And we come to find out that the moment that he had committed adultery, there was a spiritual separation between he and his wife, even though he was across seas, and she sensed it and knew it too. And marriage is something that God's put together where the two become one, God says. Man and the woman, the two become one in marriage. And so he He acknowledged that, and he says, yeah, I can see that. I can totally see that. How do I make things right with her? Because I just, my love was just stirred up for her, and I want to fight for her. And I acknowledged, I could see that God is actually the one who put this desire in his heart. And it's very, very neat to see this, because God doesn't just work in and around and of and through believers. He works in and around and of and through non-believers in his own way. Now, that doesn't mean that they are possessed with the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is influencing them. And that's exactly what God was doing. And so he opened up to talking about things that are real, things that are spiritual, things that are eternal. And his countenance changed, and he's just like so refreshed in our talk. And the next few days, we went and we played basketball together and stuff like that. And anyway, it was hard because there was no instantaneous fix. His wife, when he were to come home after not seeing her for over 9 months, she didn't want him to stay in the home with her and the kids, even though he hadn't confessed to her yet what he had done himself, but she had confessed to him after he found out through his research. She wanted some space from him, even though he was coming home, right? Haven't seen him in a long time because of this tough situation. Anyway, long story short, he had to come back for a little more training, and he kept talking with me about these things, and God's doing a new thing in him and his wife and his relationship, and the thing his wife had with some other person, God broke that off, and she had even said that she loved him at a point, this other guy, and now she's starting to realize the truth of the immoral matters and the implications behind it. So praise God, they and their daughter, their two daughters, actually, because I'm just keep praying for them, because God is doing a work there, and I'm confident that he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. Amen. So another story I want to share with you. There is a man, a captain, who in a training exercise had lost four men. And this hurts bad when you're in charge and command of something like that. And in a training exercise, they were in like some sort of transportation vehicle. It's like it's a kind of a tank-like vehicle. And I think it was a Stryker or something. And they went over, they tried, or was it LMTV, or I can't remember. Humvee, I don't know. So they're trying to cross a river, and somehow they approached it wrong or something. It flipped over and the four men drowned. It was really heavy on his heart, and it's a very difficult thing. He's thinking so little of himself and all the wiles and the lies of the enemy that he whispers into your ears and so forth. It's just painful. Because of the tragedy, sometimes you're led to believe those lies. It was impacting his marriage and his four children. We talked, and he used to believe that he would one day be a pastor, even. He and his wife were active in the church in the past, and they just had a heart for the Lord, but then all these things came into place, and his wife had even kicked him out of the house because he had just anger issues and stuff, and his wife couldn't understand him but wanted to understand him, and he didn't want to talk to her about it and so forth. And so when they came in, he knew that when I was walking around and he saw me, he wanted to make an appointment, and he brought his wife in. They came in together. And so I asked the Lord, like, God, please help them in their marriage. work through me, because you know that I in my own strength, there's no way I could help with this. And he did. He went right to the core, the heart issue, and we started with him. And what is it that they need in their marriage relationship? What does this look like? And then with her. And long story short, is that day after two counseling sessions, she decided to take him back into the home, and they have been reading the Bible together at the table with their children, and have been back in the habit of good things and following after the Lord in their lives. So praise God. I worked out a lot, heavily. When you don't have family to look after, and you work the day, and then you get back to your barracks all alone, right? There's prayer, reading the Bible, and then there's working out, right? So I went and worked out quite often. They had metabolic exercises where the commander would lead us in twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, where we would go through 30 stations of different things, whether it be curling, whether it be push-ups, whether it be burpees, whether it be, whatever, for 30 different stations of each of those things, so something different each time. And then everybody would be totally worn out, but then the commander said, we're going to do another five. He would always pick another five to do, and so we'd do another five, so we're extra burned out. But it was good. It was good working out. But in that fatigue and the muscles trying to recover and stuff, I found a massage therapist that I could go to once every 2 weeks. And this was awesome because I felt rejuvenated after it every time. And you get crackings and your muscles all straightened out and everything. It was great. And I'd be doing stretching and stuff too. I'd do that. But anyway, my massage therapist, I would talk to her every time I go, and about God and Jesus. And first I would start off with getting to know her, what's going on in your life and so forth, and she's a single mom with the boy and son, and she really close to her parents. And then probably, I think about the fifth time going or something, she opened up to me and told me that her mother was terminally ill with cancer. And her mother was like everything to her. She already lost her father. She said that her mother just got out of surgery, and they don't think she has much time. So I asked her, can we pray right now for your mother? And this is the first time that I've ever felt such an assurance from God. And I prayed for her mother, that this would be a sign to her, itself is the name of the woman, that she would be drawn to the Lord in this, and so would her mother and her family and everyone around her. That God, this is a perfect opportunity for God's glory to be expounded in a miracle of healing her mother. So she was there in agreement with the prayer, and then I just overwhelmed with this feeling of the Spirit, and wow, God, you just answered this prayer, didn't you? And then he gave me scripture, and that very hour she was healed. And that very hour was the word, and that's, so I told her, I believe God just answered her prayer. So 2 weeks later, I saw her again, and she said, yeah, my mother is completely healed. They said that the surgery, they tested the stuff that they took out of her, and they even found it oddly benign. And so, praise the Lord. There's nothing impossible for God. And when we put our faith in Him, surely He is to be praised for what He does. So, after that day that I prayed for her, not later, I just knew with all my heart, God made it abundantly clear to me that He'd answered the prayer. So I was acting on it. And I was so just inspired by the Holy Spirit and filled up that I ended up driving. I was like, well, I'm wanting to get my oil changed for a while. So I got the truck that I purchased down there. I went and got oil change and at Walmart. And then I walked in and started talking with people. I was like, God, I don't want this amazing love of yours that I feel to just dissipate. I want to use it for your glory, so let's keep it going. And so I was walking around Walmart. I'd find people who were down and discouraged, and I'd just start talking with them. They would tell me what's going on, and I'd pray for them right there. And they would change. Their countenance would change. It was just a beautiful thing. And there must have been maybe 6 or 7 different people that I ran into who we're open and ready to pray and to talk about what's going on in their lives. So I just thank the Lord. He just for using me. He can use each and every one of us as just open up our hearts to Him and just say, God, we are your vessel. You are the potter. I am the clay. Move through me, mold me, and make me a vessel of honor. Let me be used by you, God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything that you do, because you literally do everything that is good. For you alone are good. You alone are worthy to be praised. And we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who alone is worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you for each other, for brothers and sisters, as we encourage one another and remind each other of how good you really are, and remind each other of what you have already done and what you continue to do. Let us not dwell on what's before us or around us, but let us dwell on you. You tell us to set our eyes on you, on the kingdom of heaven, everything that is in your realm of things, that things that are eternal, things that matter, that are lasting, that do not rust, where thieves do not break in and steal. But your treasure, the treasure that you give us, of even being a part of bringing a soul to you, of just saying, God, he's died for you on the cross. Receive him. Receive life and life everlasting. And that is such good news, Father. Why wouldn't we share it? Help us to know it more ourselves, because sometimes I think that we forget just how good you are and how abundant your grace truly is. And we even think that we have to do this or that or clean ourselves up or even ask for forgiveness of our sins before you'll even receive us. But you said, I have already forgiven you, is what you've said. We are simply to acknowledge that and receive you. For all the work that is done by you and you alone. No works of us, lest anyone would boast. We thank you, Father. We praise your name. We praise you. We lift you up with our praises, knowing that you are good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.